Les séminaires du Collège de France.
Merci Jean-François. Oui, donc je m'excuse. Bon, vous avez assisté à un séminaire de biologie avec très peu de physique, aucune équation.
Il demande
si... It's okay if I...
Non, est-ce que vous parlez français?
So the slides are in English, but if you prefer I can speak in English.
T'as le droit de parler français.
En français? Non, en anglais. In English. OK. OK, so Jean-François mentioned you already the main transport pathway in a cell. So this shown in this slide. So basically you know there is two major pathways for transport in cell, going from inside the cell to outside the cell, so it's a so-called secretory pathway, and from the outside of the cell, inside of the cell, this is an endocytic pathway. And both pathways are connected actually in a region called, at the exit of the Golgi, called the Trans-Golgi network. I mean, the main question you may ask, why do you need to regulate? What I forgot to say is that, so we are talking today about the vesicular transport pathway. So there is other pathway that allow protein or lipid, even lipids synthesized by the cell to be transported to the cell surface and outside the cells. So there are many, many pathways, but the majority of proteins that are synthesized in a cell are using these vesicular pathways that I'm going to talk about today. So you may ask, why do you need to regulate the secretory pathway? So there is many reasons, so, and I put some of them on this slide. First, you need correct targeting. So as you know, the secretory pathway, also is called secretory biosynthetic pathway, is used to synthesize protein and lipid inside the cells, so actually in the endoplasmic reticulum, and then to target them to different places in the cell or to the exterior of the cell. So you need that all the proteins synthesized go to the to their correct destination. So what is also important is timing. So you need some protein, for instance, are secreted, we call that constitutively, but some other proteins, for instance, the neurotransmitter of hormone, are secreted only when there is a signal, and signal coming from the inside, or from the outside, from a receptor that allows their secretion. And also, important parameter is energy efficiency, so to secrete, to transport and then secrete a protein, you need energy. So it's mainly ATP, but also you will see GTP. And I mean, the cell do not want to waste energy for this process. So to give you an idea, so it's difficult to estimate, but we estimate there is about 2,000 genes that are directly involved in the secretory pathway in a cell. And it's about the same number if you take the endocytic pathway. So it means that you have about 5,000 genes over the 30,000 genes in the human genome that are devoted to this pathway. And so today is about the lesson about the two master regulators of this of the pathway. So GRAB and ARF GTPs. So I will introduce them. So first, maybe RAB. So for those who attended the seminar of Marino Zerial, he was there, so he talked already about RAB. Okay, so RAB. So as you know, I mean, we don't have a uniform name in biology. So RAB actually stands for RAS-like in rat brain. So why RAS-like in rat brain? Because the project at the beginning actually it was started in by a French group, a group of Armand Tavissian, who was at that time the Hôpital La Ribosière. So I mean, this group was looking for RAS protein in rat brain. So they found RAB and they call it. And ARF is even strange, it's more strange. ARF means, in fact, ADP ribosylation factor. So it's it's enzyme that add ribose on ADP. And in fact, the ARF GTPs have nothing to do with this function. Okay. Okay, so this is a tree of what we call the RAS superfamily, and the RAB and the ARF protein are a branch of this family. So all over there is about 150 members in this so-called RAS superfamily of protein, and so and they have. All, so I will show you in the next slide, they all share the same structure. So, and they are also involved in many functions in the cell. So of course, I mean, the most known and the most studied is the RAS family, which is involved in many signaling pathways and which is mutated in many cancer. The RAN family and the RORAC CDC42, so also it's a family that is very well known and studied because it is involved in the regulation of the cytoskeleton in the cell and also in other processes. So we focus today on RAB and ARF. Okay, so as I say, all these proteins of the RAS superfamily have the same structure. So they are GTP binding protein, meaning that they have conserved domain that we call GTP or GDP binding site that are conserved in all protein of this family, and they are also characterized by two regions that we call switch 1 and switch 2, and this region change conformation depending if the protein is on the GDP or GTP bound form. So it's illustrated here for some protein of the family. So the switch 2 domain is in green and the switch 1 in purple. And if you compare the GDP bound conformation and the GTP bound conformation, so the overall structure of the protein stays the same, but this region are reorganized. And this is a process that is has been extensively studied. So it's like, in fact, a spring. So depending if it is GDP or GTP, I mean, this, you have not the same link that are established within key residue of the switch 1 and switch 2, which explain that why they change conformation depending on the nucleotide. Okay, so this is the basic scheme of the function of RAB GTPase. So, as I say, they are under two forms. GDP or GTP, and they constantly cycle between these two forms. And so it's not absolutely true, but in general, the active state of this protein are in GTP bound form, and the inactive state in the GDP bound form. So this cycle, in fact, is regulated by a protein that we call GEF. GEF stand for guanine nucleotide exchange factor, and GAP for GTPase activating protein. So GAP because, in fact, the affinity for the GTP and GDP is very high, and there is no strong difference between the affinity for the two nucleotides, and in addition, you have 10 more GTP inside the cell than GDP. So you mean a protein that will catalyze this exchange between GTP and GDP. And GAP, why? Because in fact, this protein, they have also a slow or very slow GTPase activity, GTP GTPase activity, so it means that they can hydrolyze GTP into GDP to come back to the inactive state, but this process is very low. So you need also a family of protein called GAP, GTPase activating protein, to accelerate and catalyze this this process. Okay, so one important point is that so this protein, as you will see, in fact, so they cycle between these two GDP and GTP bound form, but also they cycle, and this is especially true for ARF and RAB protein, between the cytosol and the membrane. Okay, so, and in fact, the two cycles are superimposed. So you, what you need to, so this protein in soluble form, as I say, are in the cytosol, and you need to anchor them into the lipid bilayer. And this is done by the addition at the C-terminus or N-terminus of the protein of lipid moiety. That I mean, this process is very well known. So in the case of RAS or RAB protein, it's isoprene group, so either farnesyl or geranyl-geranyl group. And in the case of RAP protein, it's geranyl-geranyl group. It's a group of 20 carbon. And in the case I will show you of ARF protein, it's a myristic acid that is added to anchor this protein into the membrane. So this is the difference between the RAB and ARF protein. Okay, so this is the first step of the RAB. So now the next slide are on RAB GTPase, and at the end I will go on ARF GTPase. So this is the first step of the cycle. So the half-life of this protein is very long. So the half-life is about 50% in 24 hours, but so you need to synthesize them from time to time. And this slide will use the process that is used to synthesize new RAB GTPase. So this, I mean, will not go into detail, but this is a process that is now very well known. So in brief, the RAB protein interacts with a protein called REP. It's a RAS escort protein. And this this complex interacts with an enzyme that is called RAB geranyl-geranyl transferase that will add this geranyl-geranyl group to the RAB GTPase, and then this allows the insertion of the RAB into the membrane. So this process is very well known because it's, I mean, we know that mutation in particular in the RAS, in the, sorry, RAB GTPase are linked to several diseases, and in particular to choroidemia for this. And there is now some clinical trials that try to target this GGTS to try to find new therapeutic for this, this disease. Okay, so then, so the protein is, as I said, geranyl-geranyl related. So then it, the protein can enter this this cycle. So as I show you, so the protein in its GTP bound form interacts with the membrane after acting with the GEF, guanine exchange protein, and then then in the membrane, so in the active state, it interacts with an effector. And once this interaction has been performed, so GTP hydrolysis occurs, and the protein then is going back to the cytosol. And in fact, this cycle, so as I told you, so is accompanied by GEF and GAP protein, but also by a protein called GDI, so it's a chaperone. And this GDI has two main functions. One is to, so this is a targeting, I mean, the association of the RAB with the membrane. So just consider this. It's a process that is not very absolutely well known for the moment. I tell you why, but probably the current model is in the the model 2 or model 3. I mean, there is slight difference between the two models. So there is a complex between RAB in a GDP band form with RAB GDI, and the GEF is supposed to be present on the membrane. And then it is this interaction that allow the loading of GTP on the RAB GTPs and the and the real say relargage release of GDP from the RAB GTP. So just show you the next slide. So this is the family. I mean, there is many GEF, I mean, guanine nucleotide exchange proteins. So I will not go into the function of all of them. So there is some redundancy. So some GEF can act on different GTPases, and there is probably other GEF to be discovered. But why it is important, because I will show you after. So RAB are a marker of the so-called membrane identity. So each membrane in a cell have its own set of RAB GTPs. So, and of course, I mean, one of the main questions is that why, for instance, RAB X go to this membrane and RAB Y to another membrane. So we don't know exactly. And one possibility is that, in fact, the specificity of targeting, or specificity of targeting to membrane, rely on this GEF. So this GEF are present also on several membranes. But the problem is that we don't know exactly, at least for most of the RAB, what direct the targeting of a GEF to a specific membrane. So, okay. So, and then this is the end of the cycle. So the RAB in a GTP bound form interact with a GAP. So GTP is activating protein. So this leads to the GTP hydrolysis and then the release of RAB GDI. The release of the GAP, and then RAB GDI can extract the RAB in GDP bound form, and then the cycle start again. If you have any question, please tell me for this.
Yeah. The GEF proteins,
yeah.
Are they bound to the membrane, the transmembrane proteins? Nice.
Yeah, I mean, there is different way to bind, so they can interact with other proteins. Many of them interact with lipids. So, you know, I will show you a slide, so there is different, in particular phosphoinositide. So so it can be a way to address this GEF to specific membrane.
Depend on the compartment on which it's supposed to be.
No. I mean, all the proteins are geranylated, all of them. So, okay. I mean, the point is that some, and I'm not sure that we know exactly why, some have two geranyl-geranyl groups. So it's non-cysteine and the C-terminus, and some RAB have one geranyl-geranyl. So when you have two geranyl-geranyl, it means that they can probably and be less dissociated from the membrane because you have these two lipids. But I mean, why some RAB need to dissociate more? I mean, it's not It's not, no. Okay, and so it's the same, so I will not go into detail, but the GAP family are proteins that are able to catalyze the hydrolysis of GTP, so it's a huge family, and also there is a lot of redundancy. And so what I choose.
Are they in the cytosol?
A gap are cytosolic proteins.
The cytosol, okay.
Yeah, so then they recognize. And actually, for most of the lab, we don't know the specific gap that are active. Okay, so as you know, I mean, one of the major specificity of the RAB that they are associated with all the compartments in the cell. And so we know, I mean, all of them have been now identified, and there is about 70 RAB GTPs in human, and about half of them are associated with the secretory pathway for this. Okay, so I show this slide because it's. When I talk about the functions, I will tell you more about. So, the RAB repertoire in different eukaryotes. And what I want to show you is that in fungi, Saccharomyces cerevisiae or Saccharomyces pombei, that had been extensively used to study this the secretory pathway and the RAB GTPA, there is 7 RAB. So in fact, if you look during evolution, so you see that in Pombei there are 7. In Cerevisiae, 11 RAB, and if you look, for instance, in Homo sapiens, now, as I told you, it's over 60 proteins. So this reflects, in fact, the complexity of the secretory pathway and the endocytic pathway that occur during evolution and from unicellular to multicellular organic. And the protein. So in yeast, the RAB GTPs are called YPT. So YPT means yeast proximal tubulin, because the first YPT gene, which is in mammal is called RAB1, has been found between the two tubulin genes in Saccharomyces cerevisiae. So the proteins are called YPT1, which is RAB1, SEC4, so it's is close to a protein called RAB8, YPT6, and so on. So these are considered. So the Marino Zarial told you last about RAB5 or YPT5, which is one of the RAB that is the most studied in research. Okay, so. Yeah, so I show you, and because I will talk about that. So this is the yeast, the secretory pathway in yeast, which is of course much more simple than in higher eukaryotes. And there is, in fact, to control, I will come back in a minute, to control the secretory pathway and to regulate the secretory pathway in yeast, you need 3 RABs or 3 YPT or SEC4 protein. So one, YPT1, which is involved in the early steps, so between the ER and the Golgi. Then a protein which is important for transport within the Golgi and after the Golgi. And one which is important is called SEC4 for the last step of secretion in it. So why I told you about yeast? Because in fact, the first gene, and in particular the YPT, has been discovered in yeast, Saccharomyces cerevisiae. The pioneering paper was done by Peter Novick and Randy Shekman. And Randy Shekman got the Nobel Prize with Rotman in 2013, mainly for this study on the secretory pathway. And so this is a Saccharomyces cerevisiae observed by electron microscopy. So it's pretty simple as compared to a eukaryotic cell, but you see a nucleus, you see a vacuole, which is equivalent in cerevisiae of the lysosome. And the advantage of the yeast is that you can do genetics, so you can mutate the gene, mutate the gene. And for instance, if you mutate gene involved in the in some step of the secretory pathway, the yeast start to accumulate this vacuole, which are in fact vesicles. So, and most of these yeast mutants are thermosensitive, so if you take back the yeast to the permissive temperature, the secretion restarts. So it was a very easy tool to study the function and to identify the gene and then to study their function. And actually, I spent my postdoc at... So Randy Shekman was at Berkeley, and I did my postdoc with Peter Novick on SEC4 at Yale University for this. Okay. And this is, yeah, so as I told you, about 50% of the RAP GTPase are involved in the secretory pathway. And in about, most of them are in fact localized, so I will not go through this slide, but most of them are localized in the Golgi or in pre-Golgi compartment. Okay. And again, I mean, the function of most of them, the precise function is not known. Okay, so what is the function of RAP GTPase? So as I told you, there is two main functions. So one, they define the identity of the vesicle or the membrane. So I told you. So it means that they are they. Why they define the identity? Because they are, I told you, targeted to specific membranes. So RAP1 is going to pre-Golgi membrane, RAP5 is going to endosome. Okay, and then they, I will show you, I will illustrate, they are involved in lipid remodeling. As you know, that the composition of protein, of course, but also of lipids are very important for defining the intracellular membrane. And one of the functions of RAP GTPase is to participate in this lipid remodeling in the cell. And the second function, of course, is to recruit a so-called effector, so in a GTP-bound conformation. And this effector protein are involved, the main function are moving of the vesicle along the cytoskeleton track, so I will illustrate that, and to tether or dock the the vesicle to the correct membrane. Okay, so for example, a vesicle that start but from the ER need to be addressed to the Golgi, to the pre-Golgi compartment. And and RAP GTPase are involved in this process. But you have also, I will not go into detail, you have some examples of effector proteins that are involved in the budding of the protein, in the formation of the vesicle itself. But this is more related to ARF functions. I will show you an idea. So, and then, so we can classify RAP effector in four groups. I will talk about three of them. So one is the tether, so the protein that allows the tethering of the vesicle to the target membrane, molecular motor, of course, kinesin, myosin, and inhibin-dinactin complex, snare regulator, because as as Marino mentioned last week, actually, I mean, the the dogma is that you to fuse to membrane or a vesicle with a target membrane, you need only snare protein. But as Marino said, it's true that you need a pairing of snare protein, one on the target on the vesicle, and one on the acceptor membrane to fuse the two membranes. But this is a very low efficiency process, and probably the function of this of RAB, or at least some of them, is to favor this process. And then lipid and kinase. So I will illustrate that in a moment. So just one example. So I already told you about that. So we talk about specific targeting to specific membrane. So for a long time, so I did not say that, but so all the RAB family have the same structure, but the C-terminal region is hyper-variable. It means that it's not the same from one RAB to another. And for many years, we saw that this hyper-variable region, that makes sense, was involved in the specific targeting to specific membrane, but it's not as simple. So they are probably involved, but they are not enough to explain the targeting, and the same maybe GEF are involved. Okay, and so to define the membrane identity, you need to regulate the lipid composition of the membrane. So I just illustrate here. So as I say, so the different membrane, intracellular membrane, have distinct lipid composition, in particular this distinct phosphoinositide composition. For instance, in the Golgi complex, is enriched in PI4P, the plasma membrane in PI45, P2. And this lipid composition, as you know, is very important because they are involved in signaling, I mean, in many functions. And one of the functions of the RAB ETPs is to so the RAB interact with a protein that will favor, so it could be a kinase or a phosphatase that will favor the exchange between two phosphoinositides. And another possibility, so it's shown here, is that in fact the phospholipid is involved in the recruitment of the GEF, so as I told you at the beginning, to activate the RAB GTP. So this process, I mean, lipid remodeling, is very well known in the case of the endocytic pathways, and Marinos Ariel mentioned that in a little bit. You know, you have this maturation between so-called early and late endosomes, so there is a switch in phospholipid. And for the secretory pathway, it's much less known. it's probably the same in a human, but it's not as well known than in yeast. So just briefly, you have, in fact, in yeast, you have a gradient of this phosphoinositide PI4P from the Golgi to the plasma membrane, and this decrease, this gradient in PI4P is in fact controlled by two GTPs. So one, when the PI4P is high, you can recruit SEC2, which is an exchange factor of this protein called SEC4, and when PI4P is low, this favors the binding of SEC15, which is one of the components of the exocyst complex. Okay, tether. So just two slides on tether, which is a family of proteins. So it's again, there are many tethers in the cell. So basically, you have two types of tether. One is big complex. The archetype is so-called exocyst for this. And also you have, I will show you, you have long coil protein that are actually already inserted into the membrane. So what is the function of this tether? So typical case is an exocyst, or against this has been discovered in yeast, but there is an equivalent in human. So in yeast, you have this post-Golgi secretory vesicle, so vesicles that go from the Golgi to the surface to make the new cerevisiae. And the protein, in this case, is called Seq4, and its GTP bond conformation will interact with this big complex, the exocyst complex, and the interaction between Seq4 and the vesicle with the exocyst will allow the tethering and the docking of the vesicle with the plasma membrane. And then the vesicle will fuse with the plasma membrane. Okay. And there is another type of tether, as I told you. So, and the archetype is what is going on in the Golgi. So in the Golgi, in fact, so there was a call on the Golgi, right? But I don't know if this was mentioned, but so this is a schematic view of the Golgi. But in fact, if you look at Golgi membrane, you have the Golgi membrane are covered of large protein that are extended over even micron, and they are made of coil. Okay, and these proteins that are called Golgine are in fact tethered for vesicle. So in fact, what is going on is that this Golgine, in fact, catch the vesicle. So they catch the vesicle when they come from the endoplasmic reticulum, but also they catch vesicles. As you know, some vesicles come from the endocytic pathway at the transite of the Golgi. And so you have another layer of Golgi that catch this vesicle. And in this process, so there is a... So again, this is a process that has been discovered not a long time ago. And probably the RAB GTPase the protein is tethered by this so-called Golgi, and the Golgi in fact contain RAB binding site, and so there are several models, but what is believed is that in fact the RAB, or at least some RAB present in the Golgi, with allow a change in the conformation of the Golgi, and this change in conformation will, this one possibility will allow to an interaction of the vesicle with the snare machinery. Okay, and actually, Marino also last week illustrated that in the case of another long coil protein called RAB18-5, and he showed you that RAB5 can alter the conformation of this protein to make closer to another. Okay, so there are two type of tethers, so this globular domain like exocyst and this long coil protein that are modulated by RAB-GTPase. Okay, molecular motor. So basically, RAB, there are many examples. So the RAB can interact directly or indirectly. So some interactions are direct and some are indirect. It means that you have a protein that is recruited by the RAB, and this protein will recruit a motor. So there are many examples. So I just show you one of them that has been very well studied because, again, it's associated with the pathology. So it's what happened in the skin, so in the melanocyte. So as you know, melanocytes are the cells that make the pigment in the skin, and pigments are made in the melanosome, and the melanosome are in fact so synthesized by the melanocyte are transferred to the keratinocyte. Okay, and so this process is now well known. So in fact, the melanosome are present in the center of the cell, and they are transferred to the cell periphery with a kinesin motor, because the plus end of microtubule is on this side, and at the periphery, in fact, RAB-GTPase, so in this case it's RAB-27, will recruit a protein called melanophilin, and this protein will recruit myosin motor, myosin 5, that will allow the anchor of the melanocyte, of the melanosome, sorry, to the actin cytoskeleton. Okay. And there are several mutations that either in RAB25 or 27, sorry, in melanophilin or even in myosin A that explain some pigmentary defect for this. Okay. Man, so I have time? Or
oui.
Okay. So just illustrate an example. So this is done, has been done in my lab recently, about the function of RAB-GTPase in the transport of a vesicle. So this was done in mouse, so it's a mouse model. What we have done, so what we are studying now in my lab, so we generate conditional knockout mice to study the function of one of these proteins, RAB6, which is present in the Golgi, to see what is the physiological role of this protein. So to generate this mouse model, so we knock out RAB6. In fact, there is three isoforms of RAB6 in mouse. So we generate this conditional knockout mice, and we look at the phenotype of this. So the mice were variable, but the brain of these mice was much smaller. So they suffer from microcephaly. So the project was to explain why do you have microcephaly when you deplete RAB6 from the mice. Okay. So just some slide on the generation of the brain. So so we are talking here about neuronal stem cells. Neuronal stem cells are called apical radial glial cells in the mice. So in fact, these apical radial glial cells are highly polarized cells that connect the apical surface and the basal, or it's called pial surface. And this neural stem cell will give rise to the neuron. So what we did in this project so is to study what is going on in vivo. So for that, you take the brain of the embryo, and then you make slice, and you can inject a molecule that will allow to do in brain slice live imaging to see what is the dynamics of this protein. Okay, and this is the organization of the cell. So we look here at the apical membrane. So it's this membrane. So this is the nucleus, and this is the marker of the Golgi, the mannosidase too. So the Golgi is localized towards the apical surface. Okay, so what we did was to... is to look at the dynamics of WRAP 6 in this cell. So, so I can show you again. So basically, what we what you see here, so this is the apical portion of the neuronal stem cell. So this is the nucleus. So this is the Golgi, and this is this vesicle that moves. So as Jean-François said, so if you look at the polarity of microtubule here, so the minus end of microtubule is at the apical surface, so it's inverted. So it means that if you want to move a vesicle from here, from the Golgi to the apical surface, you need a dynein motor. So, and in fact, if you look carefully, the movement is bidirectional. So, probably because you have the dynein, which is bound to the vesicle, but also you have a kinesin motor that could explain why sometimes it's going back. Or maybe it's a probability. But. Okay, so, and what shows this... this slide that okay, so we look at the dynamics of this vesicle, and I mean to understand why they move, we use a specific inhibitor of the dynein-dynactin complex that moves the vesicle, like dynarestin or a portion of P150 glue, and if, when you do that, you see that we impair the trafficking and the targeting of this vesicle to the apical surface. So then, I will go quickly. Then what we did is to monitor the transport of the protein in this region of the apical radial glial cell. So to do that, we use a marker. It's a protein called CRUMPS. And CRUMPS, in fact, is in a polarity protein. So the CRUMPS is one of the major proteins that establish the polarity of the cell. And this protein is targeted to the apical surface of the cell. And when you do that, so we use an assay that is called the RUSH assay that allows to synchronize transport of this protein. And if you treat with inhibitor of the as I told you, dynein-dynactin complex, you see that you delay the appearance of this protein, this polarity protein on the apical surface. Okay. And so now if you look at the localization when you either remove RAP6 or this one, so in fact, I did not say that, but this one is an activator of the dynein-dynactin complex. And we have also a mouse model that do not express this one, and we have exactly the same phenotype than with if you deplete RAP6. So, as you see, so if you don't have RAP6 or if you don't have this one, you see that the localization of cramped at the apical surface of the polarity protein is strongly affected. And in fact, what is... Okay, so I show you the model. So what is shown here is that this is the Golgi. So you have a vesicle. So on this vesicle, you have this GTPase, WAP6, that allow to recruit the this complex, the dynein-dynactin complex, that will allow to transfer, to to transport this vesicle to the apical surface. And if you don't have RAP6 or if you don't have the activator of the DNA-DNA-actin complex, you don't have this transport. So meaning that cramps is not directed correctly to the apical surface. And this probably explains the macrocephaly because there is tell you at the beginning of timing, so these cells need to stay a certain amount of time in the in the apical surface, because what they do after, so they detach from the apical surface, they make what's called intermediate progenitor cell, and this cell will give rise to neurons. So if this cell detach too early, so in fact, what is happening is that, and we show that in this paper, is a massive apoptosis. So if you have massive apoptosis, you have less cells, and this explains why the brain is smaller. Okay. Okay, so maybe I don't have time. So ARF is very short, so if I can just finish. So just to finish on RAPGTPS, another notion that is very important is what we call a RAB cascade. Okay, so what is happening is illustrated on this slide. So this is the model. So you have a RAB A. In fact, the RAB A will be activated, and then when it's activated, it will recruit the GEF of another RAB, GTPS of RAB B, and again this will allow to activate another RAB and downstream of the two other RABs. And in fact, you'll see what has been shown is that this RAB B will recruit a gap, GTPase activating protein, that will allow to inactivate the upstream RAB. So it's called a RAB cascade. So in fact, you have an activation and deactivation, and this probably can explain the vectoriality of the transport process. And again, in yeast, I mean, there is this RAB cascade that has been discovered that allow to couple the activity of YPT1, YPT31, which is RAB11, and SEC4 during the yeast secretory pathway. There is also a cascade, which is well known, between RAB5 and RAB7 in the endocytic pathway. In the Golgi or in the early in the secretory pathway in human or in higher eukaryote is much less known, but there is probably a cascade. Okay, so now just to conclude on ARF family, so they are less than RAB GTPS, so there is 6 ARF in mammals, but there is also proteins that are called ARF-like, so they have function of some of them, I mean, so there is 22, there is probably a lot of redundancy, but basically we know almost nothing on the function of this ARF-like protein. So to come back to ARF, so there is 6 ARF, and most of them, except ARF6, are mainly localized in the secretory pathway. So as RAB, so it's there are molecular switch, so that's they cycle between cytosol and membrane and GDP and GTP. But one of the major differences is the way they are inserted into membrane. So I'll show you that RAPGTP is a geranyl-geranylated. ARF proteins are myristoylated, and the myristic acid is localized at the N-terminus and not at the C-terminus of the protein. So this process has been well studied, and in fact there is a switch of the myristoyl acid that will, when the protein is in GTP bound form, to be allow the insertion into the membrane. Okay. Another major difference, so I just show you that. So again, the same, the switch 1 and switch 2 region, so there is some difference, but it's more or less the same principle. But if you look carefully, and there is now a crystal structure that has been shown, so in fact, if you look at the way these proteins are inserted into the membrane, so in fact, Rab family are not close to the membrane, in contrast to Rab to ARF GDPS, which are localized very close to the membrane. And so this may explain one of the function. I mean, the difference in function of these two protein family of protein. So again, so there is a GF and GAP to control the cycle between GDP and GTP. So there are many GF, many GAP. Okay, so what about the function? Okay, so I told you about the function of of RAB, so function of RAB, so I have a scheme to recapitulate the two. So the RAB GTPs define the identity of the vesicle, right? And then to allow its targeting. In fact, what we believe is that RAB GTPs define the what is called the donor membrane site. So basically, ARF proteins are involved in the early step of the formation of the vesicle. Okay, I will illustrate that. And accordingly, the main RAF ARF effector are so-called coat proteins that allow to form transport vesicle, COP1, COP2, clatrin adaptor, and lipid enzyme. Okay. I show you one of the best known function of ARF. So in this case, is a protein called ARF1. So ARF1 is present in the pre-Golgi compartment, and so this has been extensively studied. So I show you the classical model. So the first step is the activation of ARF1. With an action factor, in this case it's called GBF1. Then ARF, activated ARF, ARF GTP, will occlude component of the COP1 complex. The COP1 complex is a protein that is a complex of protein that allow the formation of vesicles that be involved in intra-Golgi or ear-to-Golgi transport. So in the classical model, the coat and the vesicle is formed, and then when ARF1 is GTP bound on ARF1 is hydrolyzed, the coat will dissociate. Okay, so this is the classical model. Now there is, so I will not go into detail, but it's probably not true. It's what you will find in the in the textbook, but what is believed today is that it's not completely clear that this structure exists. So in fact, what we believe is that there is a partial assembly of this coat that will allow to concentrate the cargo and vesicle and inside the vesicle, but the coat start to deform already before the vesicle leaves. So, but this is, I mean, it's not. I mean, the, this does not. So, whatever the reality is, I mean, the function of ARF remains. So ARF allows the recruitment of the COP on the plasma membrane. So. Okay. Yeah, so I just showed you this because it's one of classical example. So it's a fungi. I mean, this movie illustrates what is happening when you impair ARF1 function in the Golgi. So I can play it again. So here you see. Okay, so this is you don't see the limit of the set. So this is the Golgi complex, which is labeled with Golgi enzyme, labeled with GFP, green fluorescence protein, and this Brefeldin A, which has been extensively used in this kind of study, is a fungi, metabolite fungi, that will inhibit the interaction between ARF1 and this is exchange factor. It's exchange factor GBF1. So ARF is inactive. When you do that, you see that, so it takes a minute, you see that the Golgi will disappear. You have this long tubule that ARF form, and then the Golgi is gone. And this is in fact reversible. If you remove the drug from the culture medium, the Golgi will reform after a certain amount of time. So actually, we don't know. I mean, I am not sure we know exactly why this happened. Probably one of the functions of the coat, so in this case in the Golgi, is to protect them, to keep the structure of the Golgi or from the cis-Golgi. And when you remove the coat, because ARF1 is not inactive, maybe this will favor the tubulation of the Golgi and its disappearance. Okay, so I will show you. So the same is to define the role of lipid. So this is my last slide, just a summary of. So again, I mean, this is just. As I say, some RAP GTPases are also involved in budding, and some ARF are also involved in tethering, so it's not black and white, right? But, I mean, this is the main scheme. So the primary role of ARF GTPases is to be involved in vesicle formation and membrane remodeling, and the RAP GTPases is to target and tether vesicle. So the main question for when we study ARF is that how does the vesicle form, bud, from the donor membrane, and where does the vesicle go for the RAP-GTP? And so on. Okay, so about membrane identity, so as I say, ARF-GTPS define the identity of the donor membrane, the membrane that will allow the from which the vesicle will originate, and the RAP-GTPs defines the target membrane, the site, the identity of the target membrane. So there is difference in the membrane association. ARF are mainly active on the donor membrane and RAP on the target membrane, and then you have other difference. Okay. And so if you look in PubMed, I mean, you have thousands of papers on RAB and ARF. They are very well studied, I would say more and more, because they are associated with, as you can expect, with many diseases, and mainly with neurological disorder, cancer, and so this is also very interesting field is that many pathogens, if not most of them, bacteria, when they in fact infect the cell, is to hijack the intracellular route of infected cells. And there is a, it's not here, but there is a very interesting example. It's a, it's a bacteria called Legionella that cause Legionellos, right? And one of the main effectors of Legionella is to secrete of a protein called DRRA. Anyway, so it's a protein produced by Legionella. And what is this protein? So it's a very potent exchange factor of Rab1. Okay, so when Legionella infects the cell, so it completely destroy the function of Rab1 in the cell. Okay, so I will stop here. Thank you for listening.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.